You are listening to episode number 160 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Now we're back from vacation.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to yet another exciting episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. As always and forever will be, I am your host, Iggy, a.k.a. Ben, who is the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. Joining me tonight is the man from the city of Boston who is excited for opening day more than anybody else, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome to the show.
We're staring down more snow. It is not a good day.
Is it
yeah, snow? I can sympathize with that.
Yeah, well, it was a balmy.
Life is awful.
Well, this is why I will never live in the Northeast or New York City. And joining me also from the resident city of New York, resident of New York, Mr. Taser. Taser, welcome to the show.
Me no want snow. Me no want snow. No snow.
If you don't want snow, move to Texas. You won't.
Me no want snow.
You won't see an inch of that shit. Well, you'll see an inch of snow in, like, North Texas, but where I live, you won't see fucking snow. What the fuck is that? Oh, it sticks for, like, an hour after an hour? Oh, okay. Who wants to deal with this ice? Okay. Enough of the
weather. Oh, yeah. Also, I forgot. Bye, Lizzie. Glad to see you gone. Bye, crazy girl.
I'm guessing that's the Walking Dead reference. I don't know because I do not watch The Walking Dead anymore, so...
Look at the flowers! Look at the flowers!
I can't call this if this is spoilers and that, so I'm going to let it pass.
Dude, you have to watch this season.
Okay, here's the big where I make your jaws drop. I stopped at midway through season 2, haven't gone back since. I just, like, I don't. I have no urge in my body to watch The Walking Dead. I've seen
why?
It.
It's freaking hilarious and awesome.
I know it is, but for some reason, I'm not saying the show is bad because I hear nothing but compelling things every Sunday night it's on. I just do not have the urge to watch it. Maybe I will once I'm through watching Hannibal, season 1 of Hannibal and the Americans, but we'll see. If I resume my trek into The Walking Dead, because Lord knows I gave up on the comic book like 2 years ago. Because fuck that shit.
Fuck you.
I stopped caring about The Walking Dead in general. I think I got overdosed with Walking Dead too much of it at once. Whatever. So anyway,
you're intimidated. That's what it is. The
no.
Juggernaut.
No.
Juggernaut that is Walking Dead. You go, I don't want to go anymore.
It's on fucking Netflix. I can fucking, if I really get engaged to it, I could watch it. The problem is I've been playing games and watching too much other stuff that's been intriguing me. Maybe when I'm done with Attack on Titan, the first season, we'll see. All right, so anyways, this is not that show. This is the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast, where we are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel. And starting in 2 weeks, because begins the summer movie Marvel Marathon, because Lord knows DC...
Captain America! Captain America!
And then I speak this... Yep. So, but
Galaxy.
But that's, as we know, Captain America's coming out in 2 weeks. You will see this in podcast. We also have, in the month of May, X-Men Days of Futures Past. And today... as of recording, we were blessed with yet another teaser, another trailer, an official trailer before the movie comes out, building up the hype just around amount of time. So, what I thought of the trailer is that it was some good fan service. You know, two things that I really love that stick out in terms of just fan service moments. One, Iceman riding riding via slide, ice slide, or ice thing. I don't know what to call it. What do you call it?
Ice sled, I guess.
Yeah, but he's riding ice slide.
He's sitting on ice.
He's sliding on ice while projecting at the same time. You know what I'm talking about if you've seen Iceman in a comic before. We see Magneto carrying the – or Fassbender Magneto leading in a whole bunch of Sentinels, which means he could – they've done it in a comic before. He somehow reprogrammed them. Or switch their, I don't know, something to where he can get them to work for him for a little bit. We also saw more of the future. We saw Decimated City. We talked about this off-air that we don't know what it is, but it's a decimated city nonetheless. There's a lot of stuff, and they're making this feel big. We even got to see how some of the, not necessarily the older ones move, because we still don't know how those ones move yet, but we saw how basically the newer Sentinels that the old, Patrick Stewart-led X-Men will be fighting against basically Nimrods for all intents and purposes, just more mobile. So if you're into that, that's going to be, which is fitting because if you read X-Men Days of Future Past, you know that the whatever timeline we fought the Jack Kirby, or Mutants Acquired, whereas Bishop and company, and Wolverine and Kitty Pryde and all those other people, Rachel Summers, fought the Nimrod. There were still those Sentinels, but their Nimrod was still around. Granted, Nimrod was only one, but hey, this is the movie universe. They make multiple. That's fine. I don't even know if they're going to call them Nimrod, but they look like Nimrods. Nimrod. So that being said, this trailer just gets me excited. It's awesome. It's going to kick ass. I can't wait to see what Blink. I can't wait to see what these other new mutants are. I hope. I really want to see where this all goes. And I want to see Wolverine and Colossus take down a Sentinel together because I think that'll be fun. This trailer has me super amped for this movie. Taser, you are the fanboy. You take it away of the X-Men. No, you're not. Just take it away.
Yes, I'll take it away and sell it on the interwebs for no dollars because I don't know how to sell shit. Anyway, I like the trailer. It gives you a lot more of, you know, of how bad things had gotten apparently in the near future. You know, the battles to be fought, and you know, we get to see what, you know, like what we discussed most was most likely New York, well, was most likely Manhattan. Yeah, things don't look good at all. That was a great establishing shot, and you know, we get to see, you know, the Sentinels, Nimrods, or what looks to be Nimrods, at least the movie versions I've said, which, as I've said, I was a bit disappointed, but they look kind of cool. Unfortunately, the Sentinels, yeah, we still have those microbot, you know, those microbot-looking Sentinels, man. I'm not happy with that. I'm sorry. Those things look like I could kick one over. The hell? Dargh! Let me do my Arnold Schwarzenegger. Dargh! You know? That's the fanboy rage. I'll shut him up. It gives us a lot more of what we can expect, which was a good thing. Unfortunately, the only gripe that I have is most of the shots that we have of the characters involved in this, yeah, we get shots of Colossus and we see two shots of Storm, one of which I think will make a lot of fanboys happy. It's, you know, Wolverine and Professor X and, you know, freaking Magneto. You know, both Magnetos, both Professor X's, and, of course, Jackie Jack-Jack. I was hoping for, like, maybe a shot of Quicksilver, maybe something with Bishop, maybe something with, I think Scarlet Witch is in this one, too?
I don't think so. I think it's just Quicksilver.
Okay, fine. But either or, I was, you know, yeah, we get to see Ellen Page and we see, what's his name, you know, armor up. Yes! Colossus! I wanted to see some of the others, you know. We get that British dude who was in Kids, you know. I get he's back as a beast, and what's her name, Jennifer Lawrence, you know, as she's, you know, Mystique now, and you know, we learn a little bit more about what went on between them and what apparently didn't go on and is now going on with, you know, Fassbender. Ooh la la. I just wanted to see more of the other characters, you know, involved in this, but, you know, they just gave us the big three for all intents and purposes. So I was a bit disappointed there. But by and large, I'm already sold on this movie, you know. Seeing this didn't make me want to see it anymore. I'm glad I got to, you know, get a better feel of what I can expect, but I'm still going to see this opening day. This didn't, you know, make me want to rev the engines any further, but, you know, yes, I'm right there. I just, you know, thank you. You know, that's really the best thing I can say is thank you for this. I will be there, cash in hand. You take my money, and I expect, you know, good things to come of this. This movie also looks like it's bigger in scope, and like we discussed on offline before the show, this should be like a worldwide thing. So I hope we actually get to see, you know, something where it's not just, oh, New York gets fucked up, you know, but we get to see, or at least mention of, you know, things happening across the world, and, you know, the world is not in a good place, because that's one of the big things that came from this storyline is not only did the mutants, you know, get, you know, their asses kicked and eliminated, but the Sentinels went on to do, you know, basically a Skynet, like Icky had proposed, you know, if while they haven't mentioned its name, Master Mold, you know, might be involved, and, you know, perhaps the military goes, hey, we tried to turn the off button, and it's not turning off. Hey, what? Oh, no! And, you know, everybody everywhere is now, you know,
basically subjugated. Where's Tony Stark now, motherfucker? Well.
Yeah, exactly, you know? So I'm hoping that is
now you have
really
Tony Stark,
the,
you get Ultron.
Big effect. But, yeah, like I said, I'm there no matter what, mm-hmm. you know? So... thank you for this. You will see me opening day and probably a midnight showing. So I'm done.
Brian, continue the hype train.
And do that I shall. I saw the trailer for the first time this morning, and I was at school, and I had to go home and change my pants. It was a very exciting trailer. I think just from what we've seen here, they nailed the dystopian future aesthetic. They looks like we got just giant roaming battle stations like Matchbox and all these fucking Sentinels pouring out, which looks just awesome. X-Men have clearly militarized. Great to see a few familiar faces like Ellen Page and Iceman finally doing the ice slide and Colossus armoring up. Although, I will say that his armoring up in this trailer looked a little bit too noticeably CG. I don't know if it was just me.
It is energy forming around his body. I mean,
yeah,
it all is. It's all CG. Brian, I hate to break to you this. None of that's real, what they're doing.
What? Huh?
Oh, what?
Did I just break the illusion for you guys?
What?
Yeah, there's no such thing.
Don't lie to me.
That can't be true. That's like... that's.
Oh, by the way, Santa Claus isn't real, and the Easter Bunny is dead.
No!
What? No! Anyway, I'm sure they'll clean up in post. Or maybe it was just me. Regardless, the trailer did excite me. Oh, and I don't know what this says about me personally or what I'm into, but Jennifer Lawrence in a uniform? I don't know, man.
It's like you in black.
Kind of hot.
Well, she's hot.
Was that?
She's hot no matter what she's in.
Well, yeah, but something about her in that uniform, man, just got me, you know? And, of course, they played up, if you, even more sexually overt was the homoerotic subtext of a dripping wet Xavier staring down Magneto. So, you know, there's that.
See, I didn't even pick that up because I don't, you know, not gay, so...
Anyway, I am thoroughly excited for this. My body is ready, And I'm probably looking forward to this just about as much as Cap, but Cap clearly wins out.
Cap's been getting a lot of good hype behind it too. Good praise.
Yeah, I'm really excited. So yeah, I'm thoroughly excited. I give her two thumbs up for the trailer. I can't wait to see it in theaters. It's gonna be
I
awesome.
just can't believe that this year, a lot of people are talking about next year, being so great. But this year we got Captain America, which looks amazing. We got X-Men Days of Future Past, looks amazing. We got Amazing Spider-Man 2, which looks fun as hell. And of course the one that's the big question mark, but still a lot of people are anticipating Guardians of the Galaxy, all in one fucking movie. All in one fucking summer.
Guardians
So it's just like
of the Galaxy.
that's the world we live in, folks. It's the world we live in. So anyways, all right, so there you go. Tell us what you thought of X-Men Days of Futures Past, the latest trailer in the comments, and are you excited? Is it your most anticipated movie of the summer, or does Captain America, Amazing Spider-Man, or Guardians of the Galaxy? Tell us what you think. Okay, moving on to another thing, to another Marvel Cinematic Universe. Last week, I believe, ABC did a special on Marvel Assembling the Universe. I never seen it, which is why we're not talking about that, but they did show some stuff, and through set pics, they've also shown some basically concept art and set pics of both Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. So, no Vision, funny enough. Maybe it's just not ready because I'm pretty sure he's going to be all CGI. But I will say, as a fan of the Scarlet Witch, I only have one nitpick, and that is she has no red headband. Or at least something that she. But in terms of her outfit, in terms of how she looks, I love it. I like her look. I think while it's not a perfect A to B, 1 to B translation, I am so glad it is not the Ultimate Universe that they're going with. But I do like the sort of the getup they have her in. It's a call to, how modern Eastern Europeans wear, at least women-wise. So that's just me. So maybe it's like she's not a, maybe she doesn't have a costume because she's not on the team yet. So, or if she does become a team, because we don't know. But I do like that. I do like that setup that she's in, and Elizabeth Olsen, is in it. So, I do like that. Quicksilver looks derpy. I'm just gonna say this. Quicksilver, you can go fuck yourself. You don't belong in this movie.
He looks like he's been up since 2 a.m. just pounding brews with his bros, dude.
Well,
Okay.
I don't know. I have no opinion
Of
on
course, that
Quicksilver.
being said, like I said before we started the show, Scarlet Witch looks like a hot topping exploded on her. So, you take what you can get.
Daisy, you go ahead and take this over. I've said what I need to say about this.
I didn't watch that
Assembly
that
Universe.
Marvel special because yeah, no. If it wasn't an episode about, Agents of Shield, then watch as we what we have planned. Yeah, screw you. I can watch that in a trailer on YouTube or something. I didn't need to waste an hour doing that. However, the design and rather the costume for Elizabeth Olsen playing Scarlet Witch. I didn't think Hot Topic. I had to give you credit, Brad. That was actually kind of funny. But I looked at her and thought, oh, she's from Oktoberfest, just differently colored. You know what I mean? I'm serious. I was looking for like her to be carrying steins of beer and like sauerbraten and shit like that. Which it wasn't a bad thing.
She
I
is from
miss
that part of the
looking
world.
at. Fair enough. And
Gypsy
I do
woman.
miss watching women in skirts because we don't see enough women in skirts
Because women must
nowadays.
have power and women must wear pants now.
Hey, look, pants keep the titty bits covered, and I think that's an issue with them.
Just wear a longer skirt. That's all I mean, whatever.
Well, they don't want to trip and look like they're from the Sound of Music or whatever. That stupid ass movie. But anyway,
Booster Beat is gonna kick your ass now.
I didn't think the costume was bad at all. I liked the color scheme. It kind of kept with what we would expect from Scarlet Witch, but it just looked a bit. I don't know. It actually looked like regular clothing, which, okay. I know that most of these movies, they try to tone down the comic booky when it comes to outfits and what have you. So I like what I saw, but I was a little disappointed it didn't look, action ready.
Maybe
so to
she is an
speak. It looked
action.
like.
Maybe she is an action
Well,
ready.
no, but well, I put it this way. While Scarlet Witch's outfit, traditional outfit in the 616 comics, that's a bit kind of ridiculous, you know.
Oh, you mean basically a bikini?
Well, yeah, and with the fishnets and shit like that, you know, that's like a Zatanna's outfit with the fishnets. I just look at this and go, really? But you know, whatever. As opposed to you, and while I'm glad, or at least I hope that she doesn't come off like the ultimate version of Scarlet Witch, you know, the whore. At least her outfit was something that, yeah, somebody out in the field would wear because it wasn't a whole lot of big flowy things that might catch on shit, you know, and cause her to like
Well,
trip
she was
fall and.
already in the Ultimate Universe. She was already part of Nick Fury's Black Ops team. So she,
Right, fair enough, fair
whereas
enough, fair
here
enough.
we don't necessarily know her role yet.
Right,
So
but I agree with that, but I'm just saying
yeah, no, I agree.
with the clothing that we see, I'm going to guess and say that, yeah, that's the clothing we end up seeing her wear when she does stuff. You know what I'm saying?
We'll have to see.
And go ahead.
I wouldn't be against it. I mean, it's not necessarily battle ready, but we'll have to see. We don't know what kind of character she's gonna be like. We don't know anything based on we
But
don't.
that's for her personality. I'm simply talking clothing, you know?
Would you
Yeah,
rather
and
she dress up in like red lingerie with a cape and a
no,
crown and
but
no.
a
No.
bustier and just.
while I wouldn't mind that, like, yeah, let's see some boobs in a camel toe. I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. I'm
I
just
could have
saying
seen that coming.
that is unrealistic, and so's kind of what she was wearing, the Oktoberfest outfit. That's a bit kind of like, what, really? You know? I do think that, like in her current outfit in Uncanny Avengers, that's a little bit more okay. Yeah, that makes
It's more
sense.
like a
You feel
suit.
me?
Yeah, no, I get you. I thought they would have
Yeah,
gone for
so
that with that costume.
exactly. So I was looking for something maybe a little bit more like that, even if she didn't necessarily have the headgear, which would have been great, but she doesn't have that. And she might get it later on.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I'm just saying what I saw, I like that as an initial. I hope that's not the final look for Scarlet Witch.
Yeah,
Okay.
because
Go ahead.
well, I was gonna say, like, again, I just want to stress to people, and like, not to you, because you obviously, like, we don't know what context this scene is. We don't know what's
Right.
going on. This could be very, like, Ultron could be attacking very early on, or like something. We don't know. So, for all intents and purposes, S.H.I.E.L.D. could have that either A, the Ultimate Universe suit, which would be fine because it shows stomach, and I'm pretty sure Elizabeth Olsen has a nice stomach, and or her Uncanny Avengers costume, which is a nice costume and I think is easily adaptable to screen. It's basically just like, well, I don't know how to describe it, but if you've seen it, you know what it is. But as a costume like that, I would be like, hey, pretty girl. That's all. That's
Fair
what I'm gonna say.
enough.
We don't like. I'm gonna safely. I'm gonna assume, and I'll be ready to prove that I'm wrong. That is a costume that we meet her in, and whether or not she gets an actual physical costume, we'll see. I hope she doesn't,
Right,
because
exactly. That's all I'm saying. I don't know. I'm hoping it's not the final. That's all I'm saying. It's not bad for a beginner, you know, an introductory outfit, shall we say. I just hope that's not the only thing we get to see her in. All right. And with Quicksilver, I didn't mind, you know, the members only jacket and whatever and that we see for him in X-Men and what we saw these pics for the Avengers. You know what? It was a bit cheesy, but it reminded me of Luke Cage. You know, it looked like something that he went to. Now that looked like something he might have gone to a Hot Topic for dudes, and you know, picked up a couple of things, and you know, just rolled with it. And it didn't bother me too much. The hair bothered me more than anything else.
all
You
floppy.
know,
It's all floppy.
yeah,
Well,
I
the
looked
thing,
at Cage
well,
and went,
you know,
"What,
Quicksilver looks
really?"
goofy by design. Okay, he was made to be just incredibly stupid looking. So,
They're
I
going
guess
with
you.
more his they're going more with his modern color scheme versus the classic green one, which is interesting.
Well, no, that's fine. I don't mind the silver
Oh no, I'm just
and
making
denim,
observations
whatever.
at this
That's
point.
okay.
Look, it's the lesser of two evils here. It's this Quicksilver or Days of Future Past Quicksilver, and I think we've all made our decision on which one is less stupid. So
Days of Future Past one?
Yeah, he's dead at that point.
And dead air. Awesome.
Anyway. Well, like I said, I didn't mind what I saw there too much. If anything, the only problem I had was the mop hair. You know, that just, okay. You know, he looked like fucking retard douchebag there. But, again, that's something I could just, you know, I could ignore. I just hope the character comes off decent, you know, at least in respect to, you know, translating him from the comic book into...
Oh, you mean an arrogant prick?
Yeah.
You're
going to expect that because he's European anyway. You know, I mean, all Europeans are like arrogant pricks.
All they need now is an Avengers, also a Persian nightclub owner. I mean, you got the whole market locked down.
Europeans are pricks. Okay. America.
America. Speak the third German.
Yep, but anyway,
like I said, for the most part, clothing-wise, I don't really have much of a problem with. You know, I don't have a big problem. But I didn't see that special. All I saw was the pics from that the IO9 site, you know, and that's really all I can comment on.
Yeah. So I would, let's just say that the way Scarlet Witch dresses, those are the kind of women I'm attracted to visually, how they look. That's just me, though. Everybody has their taste. And she has dark hair, which that's also a nice touch. Again, not breaking.
You like girly girls?
No. Well.
Yeah, you like girly girls.
I like girly girls, but I don't like super.
You like Sims.
I like when a woman's a woman. I don't want
it's
them to be like.
Girl.
I don't want them to be prissy. Like I want them to be able to like. If I go away, you're not gonna faint for a few seconds. Like, but it. But at the same time, if my attractiveness is towards to women who look feminine. Not like who look like they could be a dude, and why am I don't even not gonna question it.
It's like a lady.
If you're into that, that's fine. I'm not judging you. It's just my preferences. Women with who look. Never fuck it. I'm already gonna get hate mail for this shit. Whatever. Okay, so we got one bit of news. We obviously know Peter Parker's coming back, but apparently this November, while he's also back, he's gonna be joined by a whole lot of guest stars. Brian Powers, will you please shed light on these guest stars?
Sure, buddy. So, yeah, Dan Slott has revealed his plans for Spider-Man coming up soon, called Spider-Verse, wherein it will feature, quote, every Spider-Man ever, end quote. This cadre includes Spider-Man 2099, Peter Porker, a.k.a. the Spectacular Spider-Man, the original Scarlet Spider, Spider, Miles Morales from the Ultimate Universe. Let's see, we got Spider-Hybrid Spider-Man from that ill-conceived, looks like from the old fucking cartoon, but I could be reaching for that one. Let's see. We have a Spider-Man Noir. He's going to be showing up. That's going to
cool.
Be cool.
Yes, I like Spider-Man Noir.
Oh, yeah. And Future Foundation Spider-Man's featured.
He's not in the panel.
Yeah, the one with the eight arms and shit.
I hope.
They look like a spider.
Let me see. I'm loading up the picture right now.
He's off to the far right in that big spread. Far right corner. There's also Symbiote Spider-Man, Future Foundation Spider-Man. Looks like the girls are getting in on it, too, with, what is that, Ultimate Spider-Woman, it looks like, and Mayday Parker. Yeah, among plenty of others, we are getting a full-on Spider-Bonanza in the upcoming Spider-Verse. However, myself not being a Spider-Man fanboy, I could not give less of a shit. Do I disappoint you, Ben?
It's every Spider-Man in existence. What is not to love? What is not?
Well, there's Morlin, you know.
That is the one, honestly, that's the one I'm not feeling like people are not talking about. Okay.
Created by none other than JMS.
Well, one, okay, that was one of the, I remember, okay. For those of you who don't know and aren't initiated, this is, Moreland was a character created by J. Michael Straczynski, where basically, this is when the idea, and I'm not sure if this is in continuity or not, but the idea that Spider-Man was all, Peter Parker was all supposed to become Spider-Man no matter what, that the spider always had the power, and that the radioactiveness was just going to kill it. So,
Are you serious?
yes.
Oh, that's
And the,
horrible.
yeah, so that Peter Parker was technically the spider totem, and Moreland was basically this thing that killed it, that was hunting him, the hunting spider-esque people, and he managed to basically like, and he's basically like Superman minus flying, or he's kind of like a like, I guess let's go in Marvel. He's basically an unstoppable force. He can take shot after shot after shot after shot. He doesn't tire. He doesn't waver. He just keeps pursuing. So I guess the Terminator better enough. Spider-Man managed to stop him. So that's what intrigues me the most. I'm like, well, what is the reason to bring that back? And are they acknowledging, bless you, by the way,
Thank you.
that the idea of the spider totem exists? I hope not, because I fucking hate stories. Where at least superhero stories where they try to shoo in, oh, he was always supposed to be the hero, so versus the accident that turned out to be changing his life forever. So that has me most intrigued. And why is Moreland there? And of course, the cheese fest, that the cheese fest of every single Spider-Man ever, and just this will be a reunion of. This will be a reunion of Peter Parker and Miles Morales. And of course, because I have to dot off a little bit of rage, why the fuck is that son of a bitch Ben Reilly there? Does he have to be there? He's not a real Spider-Man. He's
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
not a, well, whatever, he's
Or
there.
is Peter the clone,
He,
huh?
no,
Let's
it's
think
not.
about that.
They've solved this shit. He's not the clone. He was, whatever. The point is, for you Scarlet fucking Ben Reilly fans, he's there, okay? Happy? Whatever. Y'all take it fucking away. Fuck it.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
Waka
Fuck Ben Reilly.
waka.
Ben Reilly sucks.
Somebody's mangry.
I
You
thought.
know, you give him every Spider-Man taser, and he's just not satisfied.
Because the one who shouldn't be there is there. He's not Spider-Man.
Peter
So,
Parker is
are
included, and
you?
you're
What
bitching
about
about Ben
Kane? Are you
Reilly?
fine with Kane there?
Kane's fine. He never claimed to be.
So you accept Kane, but not Ben Reilly.
You know why? Because Kane never claimed to be the real Spider-Man. That's why.
Well, because he wouldn't know. Freaking Ben Reilly came out of a tube and said, "Hey, I'm Peter
That's
Parker."
his fault.
That guy.
That's his fault. Fuck
It's
him.
not his
Yes,
fault.
it
He thought
is.
he was Peter Parker.
Nope.
He is Peter Parker.
No,
He
he's.
just didn't know he wasn't the original.
No, he's. Nope. Nope.
Although, if I remember that story correctly,
All I'm
didn't
picturing now
Sloan
is that
kind of know?
donkey from Family Guy who just refuses to, like, no, hee-haw, hee-haw,
That's how I
hee-haw,
am.
outrage.
That's how I am with fucking anything that comes with this son of a bitch who wants to show up.
Yeah, that and Jean Grey coming back to life.
Hey, if I had it my way, those fuckers would ne that shit would never exist, okay? Y'all take it away. Fuck Scarlet Spider.
No, thank you. I'm not into dudes. But I got. I'm with Bri Bri on this. Yeah, I don't care. I no, just n no. Sorry, I have no desire to get involved in this. I'm not gonna call it crap or downplay it or disrespect it or anything. It's not on my radar for interest at all. I give thumbs up for including Peter Parker because I enjoyed reading the Spectacular Spider-Man back in the day. That was some fun reading. And you don't have a whole lot of books like that, and you don't have any books like that anyway. And nothing's fun. You know what? Damn, that just makes me now pretty damn depressed. There aren't a lot of fun books anymore, and everything's mostly everything's dramatic. You know, there's not a whole lot to smile with. Everything's kind of moody and whatever. God damn it, now I just depressed myself even further. Anyway, seeing all these spider character variants and whatever here, okay, yeah, that's nice. Okay, and I hope, you know, those of you who are still into Spider-Man, like Iggy and John, you know, I hope you guys enjoy this. And A-Train, I know he's out there, and I don't think JV reached this. I hope you guys enjoy it, you know.
Arnold might like it.
You, but I just, no, thank you. Yeah, okay, that's nice. Pass. You know, good luck to you. Yeah. I hope it works.
Brett, give your thoughts.
What was that?
Give your thoughts, Bright Bar.
I already gave my thoughts. I don't give a shit.
You don't have.
I was not joking when I said that.
I thought. Well, you know what? I'm excited. Every Spider-Man in existence, except for one, who should be there. As long as he, you know what? If Dan Slott, if you're listening to this, I doubt you are. Please kill him. Please kill him forever. Please kill him. Okay. So there you go. Those are the topics and news this week. Let us know in the comments what you thought of them, and if you agree with me that Ben Reilly is the worst Spider-Man of all time. So, that being said, let's get into our books, our individual reviews. And fitting enough how Taze said there's no such thing as fun anymore, I'm reviewing, again, for the third time ever, but fuck it, who cares anymore, Secret Avengers number 1 by the creative team of L. S. Cott and Michael Walsh. Now, and I know I'm going to start off by talking another book. I recently read Superior Foes of Spider-Man, okay, the first volume of it. Without saying too much, a lot of people told me that book is like Hawkeye. I will call bullshit on that claim because it is not like Hawkeye at all. It is very different in tonal and us in essence and all of what makes Hawkeye Hawkeye. It doesn't feel like Hawkeye at all. This, however, with the book starring Hawkeye, actually feels like Hawkeye. Not in the sense that they repeat a gag where Clint Schlong is showing and they show the old Hawkeye face covering it. In fact, Spider-Woman even gets a boob slip and her mask covers her boob. So, yeah. This book was fun in the sense that we get some really it's a sort of a series of vignettes that connect. Clint is in this. He's being chased by AIM. You know, Natasha and Jessica are at a shooting range after getting massages. So apparently MODOK.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently MODOK is part of S.H.I.E.L.D. now, secretly, somehow. I don't know. But apparently he's there, and I kind of like that. Like, well, sure, why not? The fucking CIA has recruited bad guys to fight other bad guys. So, meanwhile, Nick Fury... Blurry, as we're going to call him, and Agent Coulson are sent to this space station to handle the Fury, which isn't another Nick Fury clone, but in fact, sort of this shape-shifting android, both getting their asses pretty kicked. Also, you also have the subplot of this this person posing as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent going after Maria Hill. So it's all sort of interconnecting, and it switches back and forth. It seems like they're all connected, but it's not really clear yet. We get some, and the funny thing is, like, it's like Clint is like, he's not technically part of the team. He's just there. So it's like, well, nobody really wants him there. He's stuck with his ex-girlfriends and Jessica and Black Widow. So I just find that funny. I'm not doing a good job explaining why I like this so much, but it was just, entertaining overall. And so, Maria Hill is along with MODOK and the assassin who is there. Maria basically tells MODOK, I can deal with a lone gunman. It's not a big deal. Maria gets her hand shot through. Literally. There's a panel of her looking through her palm of her hand. You can see her eye, blood coming out. And for some reason, this guy posing as a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent says, Maria Hill, I wish my parents could see you now. So... and it ends with basically Clint asking his Jessica and Natasha, like, why am I even here? I'm not even on this team. And they're like, because you want to impress us. And he's like, silence. Are you impressed? And they both say, no. Oh, poor Clint. His status meter went down a little bit. So this was, I bought this solely because I like the writer and the artist. Yeah. Anybody else read this? Let me see their thoughts. Anybody? Nobody read this. Wow. So this issue was a lot of fun. It was fun. It basically, it was a definite tonal shift from the last issue of Secret Avengers that I read, which is a lot of, undercover ops, very moody, very, whereas this one had a lot of fun-paced action, and a lot of fun comedy bits, which was a little surprising to see, considering the writer who I bought this for. And that's not a bad thing. I'm glad he's able to do something different. But it seems like we're gonna go for more fun Black Ops missions, as much as that's an oxymoron. But yeah, this is interesting. Yeah, I give it a 3 out of 5. It was a fun start, but this book felt more like Hawkeye in terms of how the characters interacted and how placement worked. It just felt more like Hawkeye to me. And so, yeah.
Hold on, question.
Yes.
Are they still doing, they're still doing SEAL operations and what have you, right?
I don't really know. We sort of get Fury and Coulson in the middle of a mission, and Murray Hill asks them to come in to help them. It's not really clear on what the status of the team actually is in the first issue. And Clint's not really on the team. Like I said, he's just really there.
Okay, and
They're not really, they haven't really gathered as this particular unit together yet to do anything. They're kind of, it's kind of like jumping in the middle while the ocean's already going, as little to makes no sense that is.
okay.
So yeah, we don't know the status of the team. It's just sort of you hit the ground running, basically, from the get-go.
All right. No, but what I was going to add, follow that up is, are they also still doing the whole, mind wipe
I
after
don't
mission thing
I don't
tech?
I don't think so. I didn't even know it was a thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it
Because
doesn't.
that was one of the big things that I had a problem with the last redo of Secret Avengers, just that whole idea that they would use, it was a Hawkeye and Black Widow, and they would send them in and then like redact the memories of the operation because that's what SHIELD does. That offended me,
Yeah,
you
and
know.
it doesn't seem like that's a thing here. But I don't know. Well, it's only the first issue and they show no indication of it. So,
Okay, all right.
but
'Cause I stopped reading after that one, so I have
yeah.
no idea how that mess developed or if they decided, in within the book to stop doing that. I just, I was just wondering if they maybe addressed it
It
in that or
just
something
doesn't
like that.
look like they're doing it anymore because Maria Hill is very candid that I need your help and and that we need you to help. So it doesn't look like it. I mean, it could happen in the next
Okay,
issue,
all right.
but I have no idea. I mean, it's this is only a two-part story, so it's going to end in issue two. But yeah, I really enjoyed it, and it was different. And it's in my rule with Avengers books now is that the book has to be different enough to me to want to read it. And that's the problem I have with Avengers. It's just, or like, it didn't stick with me enough. Whereas this one totally felt different than anything else I was reading from the line, which is what I want. So yeah, 3 out of 5 for me. It's a fun, interesting jumping on point to continue on. So let's go forward and take it to Taser with Miss Marvel number one, number two.
Number
Two.
two.
You dyslexic
Number
motherfucker.
two continue. Right. So number two continues where the first one left off, where Kamala, which it you know what? Her name is Kamala, and I as soon as I say it and whenever it pop her name whenever I think it, I keep thinking the Ugandan headhunter should follow that. I can't help that, you know? And I wasn't a fan of him because, well, people used to call me that back in the day. But anyway, this book moves on from her being in the costume and the blonde hair and looking like a, you know, a smaller version of Carol Danvers, or less pronounced, because she didn't get the boobs and she didn't get the ass. And she's standing there and she's trying to figure out, you know, what the F is going on. And she apparently had blacked out afterward. And she woke up a little bit later. And they do actually come out and say this is 12 hours after that Terrigen bomb, Terrigen or whatever, went off in...
Terrigenesis,
thank you. Which, if I might divert for a bit, I'm still waiting to see, like, major ramifications from that. And I guess maybe that's only a thing in the Avengers books, which, by and large, I'm not reading. But, and I didn't read Inhumanity. And I have no idea how that storyline resolved itself or even, you know, what it was about. You know, and I haven't seen anybody. No, none of us ever talked about it, really, did we?
No, I read Inhuman. It was okay, but they've been hit with delays and such, so more depth on it has been pushed back, you know, until that stuff drops. So.
Okay. Well, all right, fair enough. Anyway, so yeah, apparently she got her abilities from the Terrigenesis, and she freaks out, and, you know, she starts changing back, you know, and she's shifting, and you see her body kind of doing the whole, like, metaphysical morphing thing, you know, a little bit like Plastic Man almost, you know, the thin parts of, you know, her legs are growing thin and the hands are growing and all this other weirdness. And right there, it occurs to me, she's not a Carol Danvers knockoff. So she doesn't get like a scope of abilities. She's got one ability. And then it kind of solidifies that she just became Rita Farr. She can change her size, you know, or rather she can change her physical, you know, she can change herself. So she's got like a mix of Rita Farr and some of Plastic Man and some of Reed Richards, because as we see later on, she ends up going back to the beach where the party was at. And, you know, because she's trying to get a ride home and she's freaking out and, she doesn't want nobody to see her change, but she doesn't know where she is and she's all discombobulated. And she sees that girl Zoe and the drunk jock guy, they're on this dock on the beach, and she's trying to be a little bit surreptitious and approaching them. And the jock guy's, of course, he's blitzed, and she tries to make herself not seen or noticed, and she shrinks down to, like, let's say half of an inch. And, you know, she gets startled by this freaking cockroach. And I'm like, cockroach? But by the shore? Really? But okay, whatever. And you know, that's really what we see her do. The jock guy, he's singing to Zoe, and she's like, ew, stop it, Brad, ew, ew, you're drunk, ew, you smell like a winery, ew, 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 get off me, you big ew, and she falls into the water off the dock, and he's like, Zoe, I'm too drunk, derp de derp derp, and I can't do shit, and Zoe, because she fell in water, can't swim. Right, so, Kamala goes, oh no, I have to save Zoe, and she forces the change, and she runs over to the dock, and, you know, she starts, you know, telling Zoe to try to reach for her, and Zoe's just, we don't see it because the artist doesn't tell the story that way, but we get the idea that Zoe's just, you know, flipping out, and she's going to drown, and, you know, so what the girl does is she enlarges her hand to reach down and scoop up basically the bottom of, you know, that area along with Zoe and brings it up onto the dock. So that's basically what her power set is. She can change her shape, you know. And then, you know, some other kids come over, and this absolutely blew my mind because, yeah, you would actually see this kind of reaction. three kids come over and they pull out their cell phones and they're getting pictures of it. You know, and they're not going, hey, Zoe, are you okay? Can we do anything? Can we go get, you know, 911 or a blanket or anything less? They're like, whoa, did you see that? Hey, you're cool. Can I get your autograph? And I believe that, you know. Fucking people nowadays, you know, rather than be concerned with the problems that, you know, this girl had apparently been facing, even if it's a bit overblown, they're caught up in the spectacle, you know, and they have to record it because, dude, I'm going to put this on Facebook and or Tumblr or, you know, Instagram or whatever. And I just, you know, I almost punched the screen because, yeah, this is what people are like now.
Yep.
So Kamala, she, you know, says some words and then she runs off and she forces a change back. She's trying to force a change back, actually. And she runs into this hobo who's got, like, this push cart with a sign on his chest saying that he does haircuts for, like, $5 and, you know, he has bananas for $1, some shit like that. And he has this, like, overcoat or I think it was a sweater or something like that. And she asked him, can she? It's like, yeah, Captain Marvel, yeah, you can take her burp. Yeah, go on and take it. And, you know, she runs off. She runs home, and she sneaks back in, but she gets caught by her brother because she makes noise. But the brother doesn't see her as, you know, Captain Marvel. She's changed back. Her and him, they have a conversation, and he basically lets her know that her parents knew that she had snuck out. Because her friend Bruno, when she disappeared and he apparently looked for her and couldn't find her, he called home like an idiot. And they went upstairs, oh, no, my daughter's not there. So, you know, she's in hot water. And excuse me one second. So they start asking her, you know, like, what's going on? And, you know, talk to us and, you know, please, you know, let us know what's going on in your head. And, you know, like most kids at that age who have weird shit going on, if they don't feel confident confiding in parents, she keeps it all to herself. And the mother flips out. And she takes it all on the father for bringing them to this country. And do you see what we have? Look what it's done to our children. We have one who runs away from home and the other one who's just a lie about and well, she basically called him a bum, you know?
Hey, yo, I ain't no bum.
And she storms off, and the father, you know, he tells her, you know, you disappointed the both of us, you know? I don't know what's going on in your head, but, you know, you're punished. You know, your life from now on is school and home. All right, no mall, no this, no that, no hanging out with friends, no social media, none of that. School and home. And then he says, that won't change until you can tell us that, you know, you're trustworthy again, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, she's kind of left on her own, you know, thinking about, you know, what her next plan will be because she has these powers, she has this ability, and looking at the, you know, what's come from, you know, this past night. She realizes that as much as she had been a big Avengers, you know, fan and, you know, thinking that, you know, the ability to put on a costume and do great deeds was like something that she really wanted. She realized that that wasn't the ability to put on a costume isn't really the thing. It's the ability to help people. You know, she got a sense of, I guess, worth from that. And, well, the book leaves us with her thinking about that and, you know, where she's going to continue on from there. It wasn't a bad issue, you know. I mean, it's part 2 of 5, and it just got started. I can't say I learned a little bit more about the girl, you know, because it is a bit of a personal story. this was just more like moving things along as far as I'm concerned. I was, like I said, I was disappointed that she, because she got her abilities from Terra Genesis, that she really just has the one ability, you know? I would have liked for her to be able to fly too or something like that, but, you know, maybe that might come later on. Maybe they'll figure out how to get her to do it or whatever. I don't know. But it wasn't great. It wasn't horrible. This was a pass-through book, you know? The art didn't change. It still had that bit of quirky look, a little bit comical, a little bit light, but not ridiculous. The writing, and I'd be perfectly honest, I can't even tell you who the writer is right now. But the writer is consistent. The writing is consistent. You know, characterizations are fine. I would give this book, I guess I give this book a 3.7 Warriors out of 5. I still think that this is worth an investment in at least something different than the typical Marvel.
Jerry,
books.
You got to hear about this. Like, we got to invest in Ms. Marvel number 2. It's a good thing. Yeah, you see?
It's different, you know, and different in this case is good. You know, it's not typical, and I'll go for the different, you know, because unfortunately a lot of Marvel books now tend to just be clones of either X-Men or Spider-Man.
Well, there, but this latest launch of...
Oh, and now Avengers 2, well, which
well, that's
this
their,
book
that's their cow.
So much yet.
That's their cow now, so...
Well, like I said... I'm hoping that this book makes it worthwhile when we get to the end part, you know. But I'll stick with it, you know, to see, you know, how it does when we get to that point, and then I'll judge it on its own. And there you have it.
Mr. Brian Powers, you are up, I saw.
All right, kiddies, we're talking about Thunderbolts today. So, this is the first issue since Johnny Blaze, Ghost Rider, joined the roster on a permanent basis. It's self-contained, a bit of an in-between issue, but it's not terrible, but it contains what I am referring to now as a trifecta of bullshit, but I will get to what that means in a moment. Okay, so basically the premise is this. General Ross, the Red Hulk, gets these guys to work for him by offering to fulfill missions that are personal to them and that they want to see completed. He offers them the team and their services, and it works like you do a mission for him to rid the world of some evil guy or some bad thing, and then you get something done for you. It's quid pro quo, basically. So... basically, it comes the time for one of the team members to get their own personal mission fulfilled, and it's Deadpool's turn. He gets drawn out of a hat. Now, it starts out, as usual, with Deadpool suggesting some crazy scheme. We don't get the full gist of it, but pretty much it begins with kidnapping Ryan Reynolds, so I can only be forced to assume it's making a Deadpool movie. Now, that never comes to fruition because Flash Thompson, Venom, he intercedes and he requests that the next mission go to him because following the completion of that, he will be departing the team. He cites that he can no longer deal with the massive amounts of self-control he needs to deal with the symbiote, and that he finds himself falling into situations way too easily where overkill is the correct answer, and he doesn't want to be around that while he's trying to keep the symbiote at bay. So he pretty much says, give me this one mission, then I'm gone. Now, Ross is sad to see him go, but he says at the same time, it's not a military outfit, so you can do what you want. But only if Deadpool agrees, and being just crazy enough to be that guy, Deadpool says, sure, let him have it. And what is Flash Thompson's request? Well, he wants to be rid of the symbiote. Now, the way he decides to go about that is less than intelligent. Pretty much what he decides on is, listen, I need this thing off of me, and Ben, you were reading Venom for a time, correct? You followed this story, I'm assuming.
What was that?
Did you follow this the Venom storyline when Flash got the symbiote? Did you follow that?
No, I kind of dropped Flash after a certain point. I mean, not Flash.
Okay, so
Not.
you don't know how he came into the possession of the symbiote, how it bonded to him, anything like that?
No, government gave it to him. Government, U.S. government gave it to him.
Okay, has he gone rogue since then? Because Flash's brilliant idea for ridding himself of the symbiote is surrendering full control to it and having it rampage through the facility and basically saying, "Hey, fight me."
One, I stopped reading his book at like 26. So in between 26 and issue 41, anything could have happened that I do not know of. So I did not know anything happened.
Okay.
When I last left him, he was fine.
Okay. Anyway, like I was saying, Flash's brilliant plan to rid himself of the symbiote is to basically have the team take him out while he is in full-on symbiote mode. Just surrenders control to Venom. And basically what you think happens, happens. A shitstorm ensues, and Venom escapes into the facility. Now, it sort of plays off the team, "Hey, gang, let's split up." So they each go their own separate way to take out, to try and find and confront Venom. First one to come across him is Ghost Rider. Now, Ghost Rider, upon encountering Venom, has been told that one of his main weaknesses is fire. But instead, he opts for a penance stare, turns the pain of the people you've hurt back on you. This is the cornerstone of the trifecta of BS. Let me dive in. So Ghost Rider commits to the penance stare, looks Venom dead in the eye, and Ghost Rider drops like a sack of potatoes because apparently Venom outweighs a spirit of hell in the terms of what kind of sin he has endured and what he's inflicted on people. Venom is more hardcore than Zarathos.
Symbiote.
And Venom just leaves him there, catatonic, like a little bitch, and he
Symbiote ain't
just goes
nothing to
on.
fuck with.
Now
That's what.
that's the first part of my trifecta of BS. Moving on. Elektra and Frank, the Punisher, they're plotting on their own. They're debating whether or not what they're going to do about this because, Frank wants to kill the thing, but Elektra wants to try to make the distinction that this is Flash Thompson as well. He said he wants us to rid the symbiote of him to kill it, not to kill him. And Venom shows up, toying with him, like, "Oh, what's the difference? I'm Flash, Flash is me." And he, incites a little personal shots here and there. But while he is distracted, Elektra sets off a white phosphorus smoke grenade and burns Venom's skin, and it blinds Frank, and they kind of beat a quick retreat. At somewhere down the line, they lock Venom in a corridor, I believe, and Samuel Stearns, the leader, confronts him.
No. The Red Leader.
Yeah, the Red Leader, whatever.
Oh,
Okay, so
what?
yeah, he's red now, so he's the Red Leader.
yeah, it's kind of a thing where everyone on the team wears red.
Red 5 checking in.
In the last issue, Ghost Rider actually changed the color of his fire on his skull to match the team. It's like a red now,
That's
instead of
what
like
Venom
this.
did with his white outline. He changed it to red as well.
Yeah, and they forced Frank to get into a Red Skull tee, so,
Yep, it was awesome.
Anyway, Leader confronts Venom and attempts to wound him with a chemical compound that's pretty much just magnesium. It doesn't do shit. Venom pins him against the wall and pretty much breaks his arm, stabs him through with a tendril and wounds him. Red Hulk shows up and chases Venom off. Yeah, Stern, the leader's kind of like, "Oh, I can't believe it didn't work." And General Ross is like, "Well, okay." Second part of our trifecta of bullshit. General Ross turns to Samuel Stearns, the leader, an intellectually enhanced super being, and says, "Well, where did you get the bright idea to use magnesium to move out? Where did you think that would be a good idea? What could you possibly have been thinking?" The leader turns to him and says he got his intel off of Wikipedia, and now he believes that it's not entirely reliable as an information source.
Wow.
That's the leader, folks. He's a he turns out a combat symbiote.
That's hilarious.
That is horrible.
That is hilarious.
That is that. Who wrote that? Who wrote that?
Charles Soule.
Soul. It's pronounced Soul.
That whatever. Man should be kicked in the shin.
Okay, moving on. We're only halfway through with this one, so.
That's hilarious.
Okay.
I want to applaud him for that. That's awesome.
So, the team regroups, and General Ross is attempting to lay down a plan, and then he notices that Deadpool's gone.
Of course he
now,
is.
Now, earlier in the issue, Deadpool made a point of saying, when Flash proposed this, that he'd come up with a plan to kill every single person on the team in the event of such an event occurring. So, where's Deadpool? Well, here's Deadpool's plan for taking out Venom. He's brought out a couple of high-quality, high-end sports cars and laid them in wait. At the same time, he's rigged his costume up and drawn a shitty web design over it, attempting to make it look like Spider-Man, like over a scarecrow body. And on top of all that, above the Spider-Man decoy is a fucking jet held up by ropes and strings. The thing looks like an Acme Corporation track that like Wile E. Coyote would use. Although I have to wonder, because apparently the jet is literally strung up by rope, so I wonder how the hell Deadpool actually did that. But so he contemplates dropping it on Frank for a hot minute, then decides against it considering he needs him. And the trap misfires, of course, which I actually would have loved to see that work. I would have loved to see his Wile E. Coyote trap for Venom actually succeed, because that would have been amazing. However, it doesn't. So Deadpool, in his Spider-Man illustrated costume, is now the bait to lure Venom out. A fight ensues, Venom swallows Deadpool whole and upchucks him, and Deadpool is rightly grossed out. However, like I said, he's just a distraction. Ghost Rider zooms in on his hell cycle and wrangles him in chains and drags him out into a hangar where Punisher and Elektra are waiting with flamethrowers to contain him. At the same time, the leader and General Ross are putting the final touches on a design that admittedly was the quote-unquote best he could do under circumstances with one arm, as the leader puts it. The device channels Thunderbolt Ross's sonic clap, his sonic clap as a Hulk, into a focused beam and lands it straight into Venom. And, of course, as you know, sonics are one of the few things that can actually wound the symbiote.
Wait, Sonic the Hedgehog can beat Venom?
No, sonics. Oh. Sonic devices. Sonic. Oh.
That
well, I don't know. Maybe Sonic could.
Somebody, Sonic, looking at Spider Lantern, get me an image of Sonic the Hedgehog beating up Venom. Do it.
We need to see this happen. Anyway, so the symbiote recoils and spits Flash Thompson out in a wounded rage. They recover Flash and kind of. Yeah, he has no legs. So Ross is kind of like, okay, pal, we got you out. What do you want us to do with it for the time being? Do you want us to, like, contain it until we find a way to kill it? Do you want us to ship it back to the government? What do you want to do with it?
You can't kill it. Well, you could.
Third and final piece of the trifecta of bullshit. No, Flash is going to take it back because he can't possibly fathom anyone else having this curse symbiote on him. So he takes it right back. Immediately after them having just done all of this has gone down, and Flash sits there with little stumps on the ground and tells Ross to his face, no, I gotta take it back. I can't let anyone else have it. It's too much of a burden. So he gets the symbiote back after all that. He's still Venom. But he does decide to leave the team. And personally, if I was running that team, I'd kick his ass to the curb right afterwards, but that's just me. General Ross and Flash have a brief conversation where Ross is like, you know, you didn't take it back for the responsibility. You took it back because you wanted it. Maybe you even need it because, you know, you're a gimp, you're a cripple, or something like that.
Well, it's that addiction. It's that addiction that the symbiote entices. Yeah. Plus, he's also an alcoholic, so that he's used to addiction.
Yeah. Flash admits that maybe it is true, maybe he does need it, but turns out this was all just a test. He needed to know the team could take him out if necessary, if anything bad ever happened, which is the reason for his little surrendering control of the symbiote instead of just, you know, trying to peel it off. So, yeah, Venom was just kind of dicking around with the team this whole time, and then he just kind of walks off into the jungle, and he's done with the team after that. So Venom is gone from the Thunderbolts. I would have kicked him out either way, but that's just me. The story itself has a few question moments. As I mentioned, the trifecta of bullshit. You know, Venom winning out over Ghost Rider, the leader's stupidity, and Flash's total reversal in the matter of getting rid of the symbiote. I will say, however, that the story had a certain appeal to me. There were not only a few parallels to the movie Alien, if anything, you know.
How so?
An exotic alien beast released into a closed-off facility where fire's a primary weakness, and you have to try and track it down, combat it, things like that. There were more than a few parallels, which I admittedly enjoyed, you know, because I enjoy aliens. But just the sheer jumps, leaps of logic it would take to make some of these points work, you know. So you have a near-omnipotent hell spawn in this one dude, and your idea is to make the symbiote the baddest motherfucker on the block, to take him out. That's the way you take him out of the fight. And how do you take the leader out of the fight? You make him stupid. You make him turn to Wikipedia for his information, his intel. And then you make the guy inside the symbiote suit just an asshole. He's just an asshole. He's not stupid. He's just a jerk. He says he wants to get rid of it, has the team fight him, wounds a few of them, you know, and what do they get for their trouble? Flash keeps the symbiote and ducks out. Yo, bitches, I'm gone. Peace out. That's pretty much what it is. But some part of me couldn't help but enjoy the story. I am not a joyless person. I laughed at these moments. I laughed at a few of them. You know, the Ghost Rider thing had me scratching my head more than laughing, but the leader thing was funny, as Ben obviously illustrated for us. And the Flash thing kind of had me angered, but when you think about why he did it, you know, to see if the team could really take him, it makes some amount of sense. It's a sick, sick logical reasoning, but it is.
Well, that's to say he's not sick in the head.
Yeah, I know. He can't, you know, pull his punches pretty much in dealing with the symbiote. So, like I said, it's disgusting, but it makes some amount of sense. And gosh darn it, if Deadpool isn't the best thing about this issue.
So what
did
he do? He was dressed up as Spider-Man to lure out Venom?
Yeah, he literally strips down to his boxers and props up a Deadpool mannequin where he draws lines over it to make it look like the Spider-Man costume. He even poses the fingers the way like he's shooting a web. And the idea that he'd be attracted to these high-end sports cars. And really, when I tell you he strings up a jet, he literally strings up a jet to like crash on top of whatever falls underneath it. So it's really just,
Write the double issue this is again later, because I have to look this up.
It's fucking Looney Tunes-esque, but you know what? God help me if I don't love it, because Deadpool is just great at this. This is the Deadpool I want to be being.
They are owned by Disney now, so.
Well, Looney Tunes is Warner Brothers.
No. I'm just saying that in regards to comedy, they are owned by Disney, so.
Well, if anybody's going to do that kind of stunt, Deadpool's got to be the guy.
Yeah.
Let's be frank.
Okay,
let's be honest here.
So,
I have a question, though. Okay. Let me refinish. Go ahead, finish, dude.
Okay, yeah, so just in closing, you know, Charles Soule, I believe it was how you said it pronounced, Iggy. He did a fine job writing it. I enjoyed it. It's a pretty good standalone issue. If you know the characters, there's a few leaps of logic you have to make, the Ghost Rider, the leader, all that stuff, but otherwise it's a pretty interesting read. It's entertaining, to say the least. You know, you do get some of that Venom symbiote screwing with your head a little bit, but you know, there's that. And Deadpool, of course, is as funny as ever, so I can't really say the issue is bad, but it's just, I wish Soule was a bit more clever in how
Soul.
He took out some of these.
It's just Soul.
Whatever! The writer, I wish he was a bit more clever in how he went about, you know, taking a few of these guys out of play, or at least didn't take him out of play. Just have him actually come up with a decent plan from the get-go, you know, instead of just everyone being like the Scooby-Doo method of, hey, gang, let's split up and search for clues. No, don't do that.
Hey, don't fucking question that method. That method is awesome, and it gets results.
What
it gets
whatever.
Laughs, what it does.
Hey, like I said, they caught the guy at the end of every episode, didn't they? It got results.
Yeah, because that's what the script called for.
In reality, at least two of them would have been raped.
This isn't reality, though. This isn't reality. This isn't reality.
It's not necessarily who you think it is, either. Think about that.
Oh, it's silly, and I love it. Charles Soule, you're
the best. You mean it's not
a
fair brother from
mouth
home?
And a pert ascot. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Anyway. So,
thanks for making it weird, Brian.
You're welcome. 3 out of 5 for me. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't like some landmark of storytelling. I kind of expected a little bit more. But it, like I said, it did have its enjoyable moments, and I don't hate it. So, plus, I got a soft spot for Carlo Barberi drawing Deadpool again. He did a lot of the Way, Daniel Way run, so that gets me kind of, you know, in El Corazon. You know what I'm saying?
I'm saying Holmes.
Taser, you had a question.
Yeah, I think Red Hulk shows up in Thunderbolts and in one of the Avengers books that I don't read.
No, he
correct?
Doesn't. No, he doesn't. He's only in Thunderbolts.
Oh, really? Okay.
He used to be in Avengers. He's not anymore. He used to be in the Brian Michael Bendis near the end of that run with JRJR.
Then they kicked him out. Then he was not allowed. I don't know. Something happened. He's on Thunderbolts from now on. He's not
okay.
Been in Avengers.
Yeah.
Books.
Now he just runs the Thunderbolts. That's his crew.
Yeah.
Okay. Have we ever seen him change back to normal?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. He actually does so a few times in this book itself.
What was that?
He does so a few times in this issue.
Okay, all right. Because I don't think I have ever seen, since the Red Hulk has debuted, I have yet to see, you know, Thunderbolt Ross. You know, I've only seen...
Yeah,
Red Hulk. I've never seen him normal. I just didn't know if he could do that or
no, he can't. Okay. And his mustache magically grows back too.
Yeah, they kept his appearance under wraps. They kept his identity under wraps for a long time after he debuted. And even so, even now, he
debuted?
Only transforms back every so often.
You mean debuted?
Debuted.
No, debuted.
Did
they
I say?
Butted.
What the fuck did I say?
Debuted? It's just debuted.
Oh, God. Whatever. Okay.
Fucking
okay.
College students.
All right,
look at Ben criticizing my grammar, motherfucker.
Criticizing your pronunciation.
Yeah, I think I was done. Right, 3 out of 5? Yeah.
Oh, all righty. Well, okay, on to the final topic. Well, obviously last year was celebrating the 50th anniversary of the X-Men. Obviously, we talked about how much we are excited about X-Men Days of Futures Past. So which led, and of course, which led me to reading X-Men Dark Phoenix Saga. Funny enough, not the X-Men Days of Futures Past, because I don't actually own a trade of that. But, needs to say, that got me thinking, when you think of the X-Men, there's been many incarnations since 1963. Am I right? 1963? 64? One of those two. 63. Okay. Since night, there's been many iterations of the team since the original 5 X-Men of Jack Kirby and Stan Lee of 1963, all the way up until now, 2014. Which if you saw last episodes, we learned there are way too many X-Men titles going on because we confused them from left to right. Okay, or at least Taser did, and we did too. So that being said, when you think of X-Men, when you think of the word X-Men, what is the team? The core group of 5 characters you associate with. And for me, it's really easy. I don't even know if this is 5, but I'm going to go ahead and list them off, and you'll probably get it by the second number. Wolverine, Nightcrawler, Colossus, Storm, Banshee, Sunfire.
So just say Team 2.
I wanted to list out the names. Because
was that 6, or am I just bad at counting?
No, it was 6.
Okay.
So basically the all-new, all-different X-Men who debuted in Giant Size X number 1. Whenever I think X-Men, and funny enough, it's not the animated series, which is number 2 with Gambit, Jubilee, Jean Grey, Cyclops, Wolverine. It's not those guys, funny enough, which that's technically my first exposure to the X-Men. But when I became attached to the X-Men is, and if you know about this, please let me know. Because I don't know where you can find this. I would love to have this again. But my dad, who's to be a video game manager for a local video game store here, had a CD that was basically an interactive comic book for the X-Men. And it basically took you, had several features of you got to read the actual chapter with voiceover work, or at least of the narration, not necessarily of word balloons. Of
Ooh.
giant, and this was like the mid 90s too, of giant size X-Men number one. So you got to see the debuts of like basically the team, you know. And in between that, you could click there on certain panels. You could click there was a little television on certain panels, and you can click that, and it would take you to clips of the show where they first showed up. So you got like how their powers worked in live action or like cartoon.
Ooh.
So reading that adventure, and of course that was also coupled with, you know, the Wolverine, the Angel, like the original team was captured by Krakoa. So when I think of X-Men, it will always be of that team. That team is, oh, Thunderbird, I forgot about Thunderbird. Everybody forgets about Thunderbird. He actually dies in the second issue where they're officially a team, funny enough.
Was it second or third?
It's either first, second, or third. I know it's very early on, and I think Sunfire quits like in the first issue.
Hey! Was that during the Manifest Destiny
No,
storyline?
this is like the 70s, dude.
Sorry, my poor attempt at humor.
Racist asshole.
Yep.
Hey, but kudos, if you know, every time Brian Power steps into a room with Native American, he yells out Manifest Destiny. So yeah,
Hi-oh!
whenever I think X-Men, it's never the original five. It's not the 90s cartoon. It's not even today's iterations. It will always be the giant size X-Men team, aka Taser called them the lame ass team two. So yeah, giant size X-Men will
I didn't say lame ass, I just said
no,
team
but
two.
team two.
Xavier's do-over.
But well, to be fair, team two is a lame ass team name. So yeah,
Okay.
giant size X-Men number one, the giant size X-Men team, the all new, all different X-Men, will always be when I think X-Men, when I think of X-Men. So, Brian, Taser, you're obviously older than me. You have a lot more experience with the X-Men. You've seen more iterations than I have. When you think of X-Men, what team pops up in your mind?
Well, with some substitutions, I no T-Bird, no Banshee, but with Rogue, that's basically, and Kitty, of course, that's the team that I really came in on. I've gone back and read other stuff, but when I really started reading X-Men, that's the team that I had to work with, and in my head, that's what I think of, along with Professor X, naturally. That's the team I think of whenever X-Men, Wolverine, Cyclops, Storm, freaking Rogue, Kitty, Nightcrawler, and Colossus. That's the group. And yeah, that's really it. And I know that there have been different iterations and changes, and you had the group previous and everything else like that. Then they've gone back and retconned into there being a
A third
group
team. A third.
one.
There was a third team.
No. What I was gonna say
Oh.
is with the whole Krakoa mess, that there was a group before,
That's right. That's what I was saying.
Giant
That's
Size
what. Yeah.
X1.
Exactly. Morph was on that team.
Right. But yeah, when I think X-Men, I immediately go to that because that's the team that I was, that's really the team that I was first introduced to, and that's still what kind of sticks in my head.
Brian, I don't know how much of a mutant lover you actually are, but when you think of the war, when you think of the X-Men as a team, what are the team numbers that pop up in your head when you think X-Men?
Yeah, I'm more of a recent addition into the X-Men fan base. So not terribly recent, but right around the time that San Francisco became a thing is when I jumped into the series. But it's funny, the way I picture the X-Men, the ones I think about, aren't necessarily based on any book I'm reading, but more just on like a gut reaction of who I see as really the pillars of the team, who are what I consider to be the ones that are staples who were there and just who couldn't really be on, who couldn't really not be on the team or not have the team be complete without them there. So in my mind, I picture it as thus. Cyclops, Wolverine, Beast is a must for me for some reason. And I just like to make a special note here. I came in after the whole Jean Grey shit, so Emma Frost is my go-to, and Kitty Pryde. Basically Joss Whedon's X-Men.
Oh, so Astonishing X-Men, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. But not even, like, I haven't really read much of that run, so I don't really know a lot of what happened during it. I read some of it. I read, like, the introductory stuff, the first trade or so, but the point is...
It's only three trades long,
I have
man.
Read a lot
Come
of them,
on.
But just based on imaging and branding alone, that's the team that I think of when I think of the X-Men. And also because they're all really integral to the universe in and of itself. I wanted to add Charlie Xavier to the list, but I never really consider him a member just here because, A, he's the founder of the team. B, he doesn't go anywhere or do anything, really. He's mostly tied to that fucking wheelchair. And C...
He doesn't need to. Telepathic impact connects him with everybody.
Yeah, I see him as more of like the shot caller. You know, he's not really a field guy. When I picture X-Men, I picture a field team, a response team almost. But there is that whole thing of the mutant community and, you know, the school and all that. So Xavier does count as well in my head. But for the most part, not just because of what I've seen, but because of how I see them, those five really stand out to me as essential to the core of the X-Men, you know, people who need to be there. And it's shitty timing because most of that team is split right down the middle just about. I mean, you got Beast and Wolverine on one side, you got Cyclops, Emma, and Kitty on the other, and Scott and Emma are on the outs now. And it's just, it's a really strange place to find it, but that's really who I see as being, you know, my X-Men. So.
Notice how nobody mentioned Gambit.
Because Gambit sucks.
High five, brother.
Right there, man. Hell yeah.
Nobody mentioned, well, like, I think, you know, so that's interesting. I didn't mention Beast because the funny time is Beast was an Avenger by that point. He was out of the book, which is funny. Nobody,
actually, yeah.
Nobody,
yeah, I have that's my thing, too. Beast was an Avenger to me, even though I know, yeah, Beast was an Avenger. I still consider him that.
Yeah, which is, like, well, he's, like, I don't think he is now, but for a while, like around the post-heroic age, they had him palling around with the Avengers. I'm like, oh, I like this. Then for some reason, he stopped doing that. I'm like, what the hell? Put him back over there. It's cool. I don't know, but yeah.
Actually, I liked him in Secret Avengers.
Yeah, that's
like that first run of Secret Avengers.
Yeah.
I thought he was used very well there. You know, that was actually a good pick of characters to use for, you know, what they were doing at the time. And then they just later on decided to go, hey, we want to do something that's not too story intensive and it's just action. And that's kind of where I started falling off because it was just like, oh, yeah, this is not good.
Yeah, well, so yeah, Beast, for all I'm concerned, is like for a lot of readers, maybe not necessarily to me because like when I first saw Beast, he was the X-Men cartoon, so... When I like when the first time I remember they I think it was like an Avengers history book that I bought at a used bookstore. It's like, wait a minute, Beast was an Avenger? The fuck did this happen? Oh, so
yeah, he got cred, man.
Whenever I think Beast, I think X-Men. But now I know he also has a full on history with the not a long history, but a decent history with the Avengers nonetheless. So yeah, nobody said Gambit. We all said Wolverine for the most part. You know, as crazy as some people hate him now, but, like, hey, he's part of the X-Men. Fuck Cyclops. Fuck that guy. He's horrible. He's a horrible leader. Gets to see. He's the reason, you know, I like to joke.
Fuck
that,
you, I like Cyclops. You can kiss my ass.
You know, he was the, you know, so. Nobody mentioned Jean Grey, which is interesting in and of itself.
Yeah.
You know. You mentioned Emma, which I was surprised. I thought nobody was going to mention Emma, considering she was an evil villain for a while.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I didn't really come in with Jean Grey. I haven't read a whole lot with her, so Emma, in my mind, is the go-to X-Men telepath. You know, she is the one that
you prefer blondes over redheads. Just admit it.
What?
You prefer blondes over redheads.
Yeah, actually, I do. Quite a bit. Well, plus, you know, she dresses like a porn star, so that makes me happy.
Brunettes for the win. All right, All right, cool. So yeah, there you go. If you when you have a when you think so if you listen to this and let us know when you think of X-Men, what are the core?
Shit, I forgot Iceman. Shit.
Well, whatever. We all forgot Iceman.
Yeah, whatever. It's out there now, I guess,
Yeah,
but
well.
still.
Yeah, so when you think of X-Men, what is the team that you think of? What era? What five members? Six, seven? What seven members? Because I listed seven. Think of when, or come to mind when you think of them. Let us know in the comments. And with
Maybe
that,
West will respond to this. His will be Cyclops,
no,
Cyclops,
you know why? You know why?
Cyclops.
Because he's a newcomer X-Men fan. He's gonna do Emma Frost, Cyclops, Tempest, all those all Uncanny X-Men kids that are new. He are probably.
Tempest. Is that one of the new
I
kids?
think
I
so.
never even bothered to learn their names, so that's kind of like a.
I know her because she's the Australian chick with the white streak in her hair. So she's Rogue 2.0. As far as, not necessarily, that's a joke. But she looks like Rogue every time I think of her because of the white streak in her hair.
Oh, yeah, the Australian chick,
Yeah,
yeah.
so that's the only reason why I know her.
I thought you said Tempest for a second, so I thought Garth from Aquaman. Like, what? What's he doing
No,
there? But no.
he doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, he did.
He be dead.
He's sleeping with fishes.
L Literally. All right. So, with that being said, this is going to conclude episode number 160. Tune in next week as we go south of the border for Ghost Rider number one. Finally, for some fucking reason, that book took forever to come out. We will see y'all next week for
Hey, you
episode
Mexicans are always late.
number one.